Well, most of you, when you were hearing the reading today from the Gospel of Luke, were sitting out there visualizing God's spell. I know I was. Visualizing the skit being performed by the youth in the Elation Choir, the skit from God's spell. And the thing that always strikes me as interesting is that Godspell is called from the Gospel of St. Matthew, and yet many of the parables in it come from Luke. That's a fascinating observation. Usually we think about this story as the story of the prodigal son. It could be called the story of the prodigal sons, plural. Or it could be called the story of the prodigal father. Huh? Yep. Or it could be called the story of the prodigal family. Well, I just thought that meant it was a negative concept. No. Prodigal comes from the Latin word prodigalis, which means lavish, or as we also can say in English, prodigious, lavish, extreme giving, giving without end, giving without concern. In the story that we have here today, the younger son's giving was wasting, throwing it away, flushing it away, recklessly. We're going to look at prodigalness today. We're going to look at prodigalness and how we can understand this indeed as truly the story of our prodigal God. The first son, the one we know about, he's been given lavishly by God his inheritance early, ahead of time. And he's gone off to the far country and he's wasted it. He's flushed it. He's done away with it. He's spent it without concern for needing to have it and to hold on to it for later use. He's wasted it. The older brother has this racy mentality about, you know, women and whatnot. But it just says he wasted it. He blew it recklessly. And then he was hungry. And he comes home. And he comes home to his dad, who welcomes him graciously and yet again gives him lavishly that which he doesn't deserve. We know that story. That's the one we know. The older son we also know. He's out in the field. And he hears his younger brother has come home. And that there's a party going on. And when he discovers there's a party going on, he gets angry. He gets a little bit upset. No, in terms of Texas talk, he gets mad. He's really upset. He is mad. How dare the father welcome home that worthless brother of mine with what's mine, with my inheritance now? We know the story of the second son. We know the story of the first son, the younger son. We know them because the church usually uses them as types for us. For those who go away from the church, who leave the family of faith, who leave the community of the faithful of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who leave the church and go out and sow their wild oats, as the saying goes, they are the prodigal sons. They're the ones who go off and waste it all. And then eventually come home to be forgiven and welcome back. We know those people. Many of us are those people. The church has also used the older brother to represent those of us who stayed, who never left the church, who stayed and worked in the pews, in the seats, who stayed and worked in the Habitat houses, in the homeless shelters and the food pantries, who stayed and did the work of the church by almost obligation, but with very little love and with no joy. Those of us who stayed home and worked and worked, and yet in our attitude, in our thinking, in our response, in our action, we separate ourselves just as assuredly from God as those who ran off. as those who ran to the far country. Those who are the younger son go to the far countries in the physical world. Those of us who are older sons go to far countries in our souls. We may be in the pews, we may be working in the church, but we're very far from God. Those of us who are prodigal daughters and sons, having run from our eternal Father and Mother in glory, those of us who are the younger sons and daughters, and those of us who are the older sons and daughters, we know who we are. We know if we've run to the far country. We know if we have stayed at home and yet separated ourselves from God. I don't even have to ask you which you are. You know. I look at the church today, and I hear the church struggling and fighting. And all of these older sons and daughters who stayed home whining and complaining about the younger sons and daughters who ran astray and are now getting back on easy terms. How dare God let them in? They've got to change. They've got to conform to what we think they ought to be doing. They got to dress the way we think they ought to dress. They got to live their lives the way we think they ought to live their lives. They got to be married to who we think they ought to be married to. How dare God give them a party when they come home? I see it at General Conference. I see it at Annual Conference. I've seen it in local churches. The older son, the older daughter, rejecting the love of God. You see, the true prodigal action here, the true lavish action, the true prodigious action here is the action of God, the eternal Father and Mother, who gives lavishly no matter what, who gives lavishly to the younger son before they go away, and then throws a party when they come home. Indeed, who goes out and goes to meet the younger son on the road. It is also the action of the prodigious action of God, the eternal Father and Mother of all, who goes out to meet with the older son, the older daughter, and says, "All that I have, every little bit of what I have, is already yours." Oh, it's the story of the family of God and the lavish giving of love and grace and presence and peace, acceptance and forgiveness that God seems to be willing to give without asking anything. But that we, the younger and older sons and daughters of God, come in to the party. I mean, can you ask anything simpler than that? Hey, all you got to do is come join the party. All you have to do is come in and join the party. And so many older children sit back and mope. Oh, I'm speaking about myself here, friends. So often I find myself being frustrated. How dare, all right, now I'm stamping on my own toes. How dare the bishop give that person this church? I've been parts of clergy groups where we sit around and we talk about the appointments that the cabinet is making, and we're saying, how dare they give that person this set of churches or that person over here this church or whatever. Amen. Who are we to say that? Thank you. Who are we to say that? God has given me, God has given my sisters and brothers in ministry beautiful fields to work in. A beautiful family to be a part of. A a wonderful labor to do. And all God asks is that we join the party. Join the banquet. Because all that God has, all that our Heavenly Mother and Father has, is already ours. All we have to do is accept it. The younger son flushed the gifts of God, the gifts of his father. The older sons, they also flush the gifts of God through anger and through a refusal to forgive and through a refusal to have joy in service. God gives truly, prodigiously, beyond our imagination, even to those of us who are prone to flushing it. That's the nature of grace. That's God's nature. To love and to keep loving, and to love and to keep loving, and to keep loving, and to keep loving, and to keep loving, even when we hit that plunger to flush it again and again. Through running away, or through closing ourselves up. May we, as the Church of Jesus Christ in a broken and hurting world, may we, as the sisters and brothers of the family of God, may we, as the younger and the older children of God eternal, receive, enter into the banquet feast, rejoice and celebrate, and serve in the fields together, knowing that all we have from God, and all that God has in terms of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, self-control, all that we have in the gifts of the Spirit, all that we have in the fruit of God's love in us is already ours. We don't have to wait for it. It's there to rejoice in today. Be we younger sons and daughters, older sons and daughters, may we open ourselves to God's love and presence and enter into the banquet feast of all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.